welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, our fond salutations and thank yous to our newest affiliate in Sacramento, KSTE, Ken Charles and the guys. Great to be with them. And we are back here. We'll have Bobby Dooley back on with us tonight to talk about women and football, their knowledge of the game. This is a different kind of discussion because Ms. Dooley, as she has articulated, has a pretty significant knowledge of the game, far beyond what one would expect women to have. And by that, I'm talking about the fans. We're talking about women that are fans, and this is a time of year when football becomes the prevalent, recreation on weekends. She has a pretty extensive knowledge of the game that goes beyond other women, and it got her into some trouble, including a fist fight.
Yes, this was Ms. Dooley was involved in a big dust-up, as they say, at the Homeowners Association Community Center, in which fists were used, as well as a serving tray and a fire extinguisher, Bud. Is that right?
Yeah, Seth took a fire extinguisher and beat it into a lady's face.
Well, didn't beat it into her face, but it was very significant.
And some people may asked the question, wasn't Bobby your guest on the first hour? Yeah, you know, the way listening habits are in radio, many times we will rotate a guest to the third hour, and we'll do that topic because there's a lot of people who... Who's on the line?
David.
Yeah, David.
Well, you know, Phil, all you have to say is, oh, David G. Hall, the vice president of syndication, is...
No, I don't. That's not all I have to say. What do you want?
What do I want? Forget it. Get your donuts.
Call him back and tell him that he's going to get back on the air and tell me what he wants since he interrupted the show.
Hey.
Well, that's unusual. He may be wondering why you're even bringing up the whole rotation of topic issue.
Yeah, David. Phil wants to know why you're... Well, I don't know. On account of he's on a rag...
And give me that. Put him on the... David.
I'm just wondering why you giving me a hard time.
By the way, I could hear your girlfriend asking for a donut.
But I definitely heard you.
I'm okay.
You don't care. Get a load of that. She doesn't care. He heard you say you wanted a donut.
I think I never had a donut.
Honey, would you swallow the one you've got in your mouth?
That's what she said.
That's what she said. Are you ready for this? Why am I wasting my time?
I don't know. She's your girlfriend, and every time you call me, you're cruising around town with her.
I'm not cruising around town. You know, and that's another thing. Just because I call you up and she's in the car with me doesn't mean we're on a run for donuts, because you got everybody thinking she's a big, fat donut queen, and she's not. She's very shapely, yes. I like my women that way. I think you're very lovely, honey. I can't understand you. It's a...
Let me ask, is there a box of donuts in the car right now?
That's none of your business. That's none of your business.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yes, there is.
That's none of your business.
I can hear her in the background somehow warbling out the words for donut. So...
You want to shut up? You want to shut up because he can hear you? Look, Phil, the reason why I called up, and forget about donuts and forget about my girlfriend, the reason why I called up is because do you really need to explain to the audience... You know.
Well, you were right, Margaret.
I knew that. David, I said that's why you were calling.
Well, that's why I'm calling. You got to explain to the audience the whole idea of rotating a topic. Just do it. Don't explain it to them.
I feel like I need to.
Why?
Because there may be some people who were wondering why we're repeating the topic.
You know, there's not that many of those people. The people who were listening to you in the first hour are not there now. The people who listen to you now were not there in the first hour. It's a different audience. It's audience turnover. It's audience rotation. It's getting the audience to sit on it and rotate. Put it anywhere you want, and it comes out the same. It's your ass, not mine. David G. Hall, out. Now, where's the Krispy Kreme?
Wow, so he's calling in now and giving speeches, huh?
Yeah, Mr. Hall said he'd rather just issue a statement.
That's what he said.
Issue a statement. So he calls up, and he's going to issue his statement, and then...
Lock out with I'm David G. Hall. I said don't lock out with I'm David G. Hall. Why don't you lock out with what you used to lock out with, which was Hall Out.
Yeah, but that means we've got to bring on the Empire Strikes Back music.
What are you laughing about?
Well, I mean, if that's what you want to do. All right, so one other little teeny, itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, yellow polka-dot bikini bit of business is that at the beginning of the show, we were talking about veterans, and CJ was discussing veterans' work that she's doing, benefiting veterans. And I said, you know, I want to know something that's really interesting, because you guys asked me about this.
Yes, is this the plum?
Yeah, Tom the Piper's son or something, I don't know. It had a plum.
No, it ain't Tom the Piper's son. It's a guy named Joseph Plum Martin. Where do you get that?
It's stuck in his thumb.
Stuck in his thumb?
That's Little Miss Muffet, I think.
What are you talking about? What are you guys talking about?
Dude stuck the thumb in.
I don't know who stuck a thumb in. All I'm telling you, the guy's name is Joseph Tom the Piper's son. This guy is an actual Revolutionary War veteran. And he was fighting for the militia, and he was fighting then for the Continental Army. He was a Continental regular. You ought to read this guy's book, because if you want the view of the American military from the very beginning, this is the guy whose book you should read, Joseph Plum Martin. It's called A Narrative of a Revolutionary Soldier. He ends his book with a few observations that I think are extremely valuable. One of them is that even as long ago as the Revolutionary War, there was this attitude that the militias were plenty, and actually when he wrote the book in the 80s, he was 70 years old. So when would this have been? He was 16 when he enlisted in the Connecticut militia, 15 actually. So he would have been sometime in the early early half of the 19th century. He's a 70-year-old man when he wrote down his memoirs, this narrative of a revolutionary soldier, and he said. And it might have been at that particular time in American history, they were arguing the value of a standing army, which has been a big argument in America in the early years. He said, some people will knock the army regulars and say that we didn't have a vested interest in the survival of the country. They'll say that we didn't fight as hard as the militia. He said, but the militia guys could quit and go home anytime they wanted to. The militia guys were fighting primarily for their own state or their own, province. He said, "Were the regulars, we couldn't go home when we wanted to. We had to stay for the full length of our enlistment. And on top of that, we had to drill and we had to, go through training repetitively and get better at what we did because this is what the officers demanded us. The militias were never that disciplined." So he ends his book with a really sort of excoriates the idea of militias and the state militias as being anything other than a pretty good stopgap at the beginning of the Revolutionary War. But over the long haul, no way. There's no way the revolution would have been won, in the opinion of this soldier, had there not been a Continental regular army. And he said those are the guys that won the Revolutionary War. That's a pretty significant statement to make, because I think there is, even to this day, this idea that the militias were the reason the war was won. The other thing that he says, veterans' issues and the ignoring of veterans, if you think that that's something that is a new feature of American life, it goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War. He ends his book by saying, here are all the things we were promised and we never got. Here are all the things that they said that the revolutionary veteran was going to have. Here's the land. Here's the possessions. In those days, they would say, you'll get a chicken, and you'll get a new boots, and a knife, and...
What do you mean, a chicken?
Something to eat, in other words. There was two things that the revolutionary soldier was battling morning, noon, and night. Fatigue and hunger, fatigue and hunger, fatigue and hunger. And then occasionally, during the winter, frostbite and cold like you wouldn't believe. He said, that was our constant companion. We were hungry and we were tired. We were hungry and we were tired. And there's a quote that I actually tweeted. And the quote goes, I, in good conscience, can say that I always fulfilled my duty to my country. And unfortunately, my country cannot say the same for me. But like a husband with a wanton wife who has a free spirit, I forgive her and hope she will do better in the future. Joseph Plum Martin.
Well, that's an interesting quote. So he's comparing the country to a slut. I mean, I don't mean that as a bad thing, but...
He's comparing the country to a wanton wife who is free-spirited, a woman that is not faithful. And he said, you know what? As the forgiving husband, I forgive her, and I hope she will do better in the future. That's a soldier of the Revolutionary War speaking at the age of 70. But he had a lot of complaints, a lot of complaints. So this idea that our veterans only recently have been treated poorly, no, folks, it goes back to the very beginning. The country, as soon as the war is fought, we tend to forget our veterans. And we did the same thing to the, if you could believe it, the revolutionary, the old soldiers of the revolution, as they used to call them. Interesting. So
what's the name of the book? Because a couple of people are calling up about it and everything.
It's called A Narrative of a Revolutionary Soldier, Joseph Plum Martin, not Tom the Piper's Son.
Yeah, that's the part I got.
Well, who did stick the thumb in? I thought...
You know what? If I said that, you'd be all upset because... Is that David?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, David. What do you want now?
What is what's sticking your thumb in? What is that about?
I didn't start that. These guys did.
You guys are talking about sticking a thumb in and pulling out...
All right, we're going to be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show. We'll have Bobby Dooley back on here with us, and she's going to talk to us about the excitement, the color, the pageantry that is pro football, and how, as a woman who knows a lot about football, it doesn't exactly make her popular with the other gals. All right, our number is 855-500-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry show. All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us again here as they did in our very first hour. I was going to discuss with them the football season coming up. I don't think I even asked you, Steve Dooley, if you are a football fan, or maybe I should ask Bobby, you know, did your... I know you said your father is the one who brought you most of your knowledge of football just by sitting and watching the games with him, right?
Well, that's true, Phil. My dad would sit and watch the games with his buddies. You know, he had other guys, because my father was a military, and we spent a lot of time on air bases. We were at Edwards Air Force Base, which was up in the desert north of Mojave, and we were also at places like Homestead in Florida and places like that. But my dad would watch the games, and we would sit and watch the games with him, and I became a big fan of football at that time.
Now, Steve, are you a football fan?
No, I like football, too. And I probably, I don't want to say anything that's bad, but I know more about football than my wife does.
I don't think that's true.
You don't? Yeah, right.
I don't think it's true. I think I know more about football than Steve, Phil.
No.
All right, well, I don't want to get into and have an argument ensue here, but... I imagine it's a very it's a lively house on weekends.
Hold on, Phil. Steve, I know about football better than you do because my father used to say that you were sort of a legless man when it came to that.
Yeah, you're better saying that.
A legless man?
My dad used to say, I love Steve, and nothing would tear me away from Steve, but my father always said that what was my dad's old saying? For 50 cents in an old coat, I could find myself a better mule than Steve.
Yeah, Dad, it's mean.
Yeah, well, that does sound mean.
Oh, it wasn't mean. God, the two of you. I always thought, Phil, you butched up. I thought you cleaned up better than that, Phil. Anyway.
No, it just sounds like your father was rather cruel to your husband. What, 50 cents and an old coat?
Yeah, 50 cents and an old coat. Old mule.
Don't lip lock the phone like it's your wife. Or I should say you're its wife.
Yeah, see that, Mr. Henry? See that, Mr. Henry? That's what I put up with.
What? I don't understand, all right?
I understand that I'm the phone's wife. Should be the other way around.
See, Steve's the only one in the world that would keep track of something like that.
Well,
you did say to him, don't lip-lock the phone, which I think is a good piece of advice because we had some distortion there, but I don't think it has to be insulting. I think we're getting far afield of what we want to talk about, and that is the erudition, your knowledge of football, and the various events that you have there at the Western States Homeowners Association during football season, and you've had some run-ins with some of the women.
Yes, I have, Phil.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, I attribute it to the fact that I come from a football culture. As I mentioned, my father was a very big... My dad also followed the Air Force Academy. He didn't go to He didn't go to the Air Force Academy, but he followed their teams.
Yeah, they're called the Falcons.
He knows that, Steve. Would you please?
Thank you, Steve. I would rather hear Bobby if I'm listening to two voices at once.
Okay.
So it was the Atlanta Falcons. Not the Atlanta. Steve, would you? I swear I am a Christian woman, but I'm about to say GDU.
Uh-oh.
You
said a bad one.
No, Phil, it's okay to say that if I'm doing it in the Christian sense, isn't it?
I don't know. I'd rather you not even get sidetracked. So, Steve, just please don't interrupt. So tell me again. Your father followed the Atlanta, not the Atlanta, the Air Force Academy, right, bud?
Yeah, the Air Force. Well, wait, not the Marine Corps.
Yeah, we think the Marine Corps is that way.
Phil, come on, wake up.
All right, the Air Force Academy, and then what?
What do you mean, he followed the Air Force Academy?
Okay, but what I asked, forgot what I asked.
You asked whether my wife and the other lady, I forget.
Oh, come on, Margaret.
You asked Bobby how she's faring with the other women in the community because she knows more about football than they do.
Right.
Thank you, Margaret. Well, as I mentioned, not too well, because the other gals in our circle of taste, we also have our gal pal. Gal pal is a lower rung of circle of taste, and I decided to introduce gal pal because it was a way for the gals to gal around, you know, gal pal around. We could pal around as gal pals.
Do you have a particular affinity for saying that because it's starting to grate on my nerves?
Why? The reason I'm saying gal pal?
Yeah, right there. Please don't say that.
Okay, I understand what Margaret's saying. I get the idea. Gal pal is a lower rung of circle of taste, and
it's like the triple A of Major League Baseball, only it's gal pal.
She's doing that on purpose.
What?
She's going gal pal.
I didn't say gal pal. God, you sound like the Wicked Witch of the East. I said...
How dare you?
I said gal pal.
All right, enough with gal pal. What's that got to do with football?
What a hard ass you are. God, I don't know whether to be turned on by it or put off. Because there is something that's very exciting about your anger, Mr. Hayes. I don't know what it is. Anyway,
That's nice to know, and especially in front of your husband. That's great.
He does it all the time.
No, I do not do it all the time.
All right, Bobby, I've got like 2 minutes before I just, you know, call a halt to the proceedings here.
Fine. The women are not reacting very well, Phil. I am very knowledgeable. The guys tend to gather around me. A lot of the guys who come to watch the games are very excited to see a woman who knows about football. I can sit and talk to men. I can say, the slot receiver, he's not covered. A quick pass to him, a quick slant into him. You know, that's 6 months. I talk this way to the men, and the gals are upset. That's why I started Gal Pal, to try and become more conversant with the gals on things that are a little more butch than what we do in Circle of Taste.
All right, when you say more butch, what do you guys do in Circle of Taste?
Well, Circle of Taste is more about wine and cheese and brassiere. I don't know. It's more feminine, Margaret, you know.
Yes, it's Circle of Taste is about wine and cheese, dishes. As Bobby indicated, brassieres, you know, comparing panties. It's not really anything I want to discuss with men around. Panty liners, new...
tampons.
Well...
Oh, okay, all right, never mind. And then what is Gal Pals?
Gal Pals, well, you want to say...
Yes, Gal Pals is more about football and kayaking and things that we can do to continue to impress our husbands and boyfriends that we figuratively have got a pair and we can hang with the homeboys and, that we can bring it on a Saturday night. But Gal Pal is the lower rung.
So you guys value the more feminine arts, if you will, or the more feminine things over these Gal Pal things.
Why do you say that?
Because Gal Pal, you said, is a lower rung.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, I told you.
Now, maybe I have to elevate it above...
Well, why would you want to elevate it?
Well, because I think that Gal Pal has more sex appeal now than does Circle of Ten. I don't know, I have to think about it.
All right, we're going to come back here with Bobby and Steve Dooley, continue our discussion here of women, their knowledge of football, and their... their ability to impress men with it, and also what kind of conflict it puts them in with other women that are not so knowledgeable about football and may not really like the fact that the football women are dominating the social scene. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com.
Did I mention Gail Pam?
Yeah, you did already, Gus. Like to drive me nuts, knock a buzzard off a crap wagon.
Steve.
God almighty.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. A backstage pass, that's what you need, man. That gets you our live-streaming video of the show.
Yeah, you got video and you got a podcast and everything.
Get the podcast of the show. You get our 5,000 hours of archive material. I mean, you know, it's sick. It's sick what you get for $9.99 a month. And it's all there at philhenryshow.com. It's the largest archive of a single radio show anywhere in the world. Our website, what we got, what I got, you know, what I got, man, what I got. Okay, so check it out at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And, of course, we have our classic archive podcast, so you get a a 30-minute archive podcast every day. Lots of things, lots of cool stuff, and more planned. Also, we're fully mobile, so if you have a mobile device, you want to watch our video cast on your mobile phone, you can do that. iPhone, Samsung, I don't care, man. Some of you guys have these Androids, and they're constantly changing the technology. They're constantly changing the innards, the guts of some of these Android phones. So on any given day, who knows whether you're going to pick us up or not. But the fact is, on just about every mobile device, our video cast is available. All of our podcasts available, all of our archives available, as well as on your desktop, too. We have a mobile website that you can navigate from your phone. So it's about as user-friendly as it can get, and it's getting more user-friendly and more cool and more groovy and more bitchin' with each passing day. All right. Ms. Dooley and her husband, Mr. Dooley, on the line with us. We had getting sidetracked is the ought to be the subtitle of this show, the Phil Henry Show, or how I got sidetracked out of about five or six different topics tonight. And to that end, what we were discussing is the way that other women are treating you, Bobby, because you have this knowledge of football. Now, I know you described for us in some detail being at a Super Bowl party. It was a chili cook-off.
No, it was not a chili cook-off, Phil. It was, I think it might have been our cheese brie. Was it the brie, Steve?
Well, spreadable cheese.
It was the spreadable cheese festival.
Well, that's what brie is.
Well, brie is spreadable, but brie is more of a higher class. We were just doing something with the squeeze cheese. And we didn't want to call it the squeeze cheese festival. We called it spreadable cheese. Spreadable cheese and bun slices. I don't know what it was called, but that's what we featured.
What? I'm sorry, I'm getting lost here.
Yeah, see, Mr. Henry, can I do it? Can I do this one?
Go ahead.
See, Mr. Henry, every time we have a football game, we'd have a different festivity, and this was cheese with bun slice.
What's a bun slice? I'm sorry for sounding so impatient.
We're talking about little fingers of bread.
Oh, so you just mean slices of bread?
Yes, but the small kind.
Yeah, the ones that come off the buns.
Well, okay, so in any event, it doesn't matter what you called it.
Well, it does matter because it's the class of people that you get. And see, at our brie spread, which we call the spread out, or the everyone spread.
What is that?
That's when we feature brie, it's called everyone spread out.
Yeah, everyone spread out. We have that in October. They have that in football, too.
Everyone spread out is when you do brie.
Yeah, when we do brie and other high-class spreads.
What's the one, the other one?
What other one?
Phil, why do you let yourself in for it? Just...
Yeah, all right. So you're at this other one.
Well, now I don't know which one you're talking about.
The one with Jim's, really, and you had the dust up.
Oh, yeah. No, that was the spreadable cheese with the bun slice.
That's what you called it?
I forget what we called it, but that's what it was.
All right, so in any event, this was a football game, right?
Yeah, no, it was, yes, it was on TV, the football game. And so I was in the middle of all the guys. All the husbands were there, and we were having a great time. We were watching the game, and I was making my comments, and the guys were making theirs. And every time a good play happened, they'd lift me above their heads, and I was wearing a skirt at the time, and Steve made a big deal. No one was looking up my skirt, honey.
I don't know.
Steve made a big deal out of it at the time, Phil, and I don't want to be juvenile, but the guys would lift me up and parade me around, and Steve said that he saw a couple of them, Stu Brewster and who else?
That's Carl Greeley.
That they were looking right up my dress.
Yeah, and like, that's my understanding
then. That's what you're understanding? What does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
You're awfully interested, Mr. Henry, looking up my wife's dress.
I didn't say anything about looking up your wife's dress. I said, what do you mean by your understanding?
But my understanding, they were looking up her dress.
What does it mean, Steve? Were they or weren't they?
My understanding was they were.
Were you told about it or did you see it?
I told about it.
Well, there you go. Somebody told you about it. Who told you?
Carl Greeley.
So he said he was looking up your wife's dress.
Yeah.
Well, why would he lie? Now I've got... Okay, so there are a score to settle with Carl Greeley. Okay, let's write that down. Carl Greeley. He's got a fight coming. It's coming today. Okay.
Come on, Bobby.
Look, Bobby, I don't want to hear about any fights that you're planning. I just want to know about this one football game. So the guys were lifting you above their heads.
Well, that's not the football game, Phil. You've got some real filthy mind.
All right, Ms. Dooley, I appreciate you being on the show. I'm going to go now. I'm going to continue my program, and we'll go in another direction.
So you're hanging up on me?
Because of the fact that you guys can't get to the point, and now you got me with the filthy mind looking up your dress.
How could you be looking up her dress? She wasn't even there.
Yeah, you wasn't even there. Was you? No, you wasn't.
No, you're right. I wasn't.
Oh, my God. You know, she pays for that airtime.
Oh, no, not that. Really? Do we have any guests on this show that don't pay for airtime?
Does anybody have any guests on any show anywhere that don't pay for airtime? That's a question what you ought to ask, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm not going to ask that question because I don't care about any other people. At least we don't pay our way onto radio stations. Now, do we?
I don't know.
Well, at least I don't think we do. Thank you, Ms. Dooley and Mr. Dooley and the rest of the Dooleys, for your interest in our program, but I can't stand it any longer. So that's that, man. I'm not going to talk about that fist fight she had or anything else. This guy committed suicide. You know this Ariel Castro, you know the guy that kidnapped those women?
Yeah, he committed suicide in his cell, I think, in the Cahuga. I'm looking at the story right now. The Cahuga, what is it, bud?
No, it's Franklin County. Ariel Castro hanged himself in his prison cell, according to the Franklin County.
So it wasn't Cuyahoga. That's the county that you were looking for.
Oh, I thought it was. What's it called?
Cuyahoga. That is Cleveland, and it says Franklin County. Nonetheless, he committed suicide in his cell. This is a psychopath, or they don't even use the term psychopath anymore. It's called antisocial disorder. Now, it's not even a disease. You can't even call it a disease. You can say that it's abnormal, but if it's a disease, you would think it's something that can be cured, and there is no cure that we know of. That's number one. The other thing about antisocial disorder is, unlike other so-called mental illness, in the strict definition of at least being legally insane, these people with antisocial disorder know full well what is right and what is wrong in the eyes of society. They know full well what is breaking the law and what is staying on the right side of the law. There is no confusion there at all. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're compelled to do it. They're compelled to do it for sexual reasons. They're compelled to do it for reasons of control. They're compelled to do it for reasons that we can only speculate on. This guy, Castro, a guy with this antisocial personality disorder, wound up killing himself in his jail cell. Now, a lot of people, to make themselves feel better, and I'm not criticizing, but a lot of people will say, well, he was a coward, you know.
Well, he is a coward if he does that.
I don't think it's that easy.
Why do you say that?
Because these guys are about control. These people are about calling the shots. These people are about being in charge. If there's one thing that these cats don't like, it's being manipulated. They want to be the manipulators. And if they're being manipulated, they feel out of control. They're enraged. That's where you really get the rage part of these people, when they don't feel that they're controlling their own destiny, when they don't feel they're controlling their own lives. We just had that guy, Israel, what's his ass? What's that dude, Hayes? Is that the guy?
The guy in Alaska, yes. They think is a serial killer. He killed that couple in Vermont. And also the young girl, I think, in Texas.
Right. That guy killed himself in his federal cell in December of 2012. Same story. The reason why they killed themselves is to simply say, I will be the decider as to when I die, not you. Or to say even more to the point, I will decide what happens to my life. You are not going to decide anything about my life. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make it impossible for you to decide anything about my life. I'm going to kill myself. Now, a lot of them will leave these suicide notes that make you feel sorry for them, that make you think, oh, the poor guy. And a lot of them are probably, you know, rather heartfelt in their self-pity, because these are people that don't have any empathy, man. They don't feel anything for other people. I mean, can you imagine if this guy had any empathy at all, any feelings at all, he wouldn't have put these girls through what they went through. But it was all about controlling these three lives. No, they feel sorry for themselves. They feel sorry for their own predicament. They feel sorry that they're caught, and they feel sorry that they can't get out of being caught. And so they write their little suicide notes, you know, I see no way out, and, you know, I hope. And they manipulate to the bitter end. Now, one of the most famous cases, one that I will never tire of mentioning, is this guy, Roger Coleman.
Of the Coleman Lantern?
I'm gonna kick your ass. Do you know that?
I'm just kidding around.
Phil, watch it.
No, not of the Coleman Lantern. Why'd you say that?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, he thought it was, man. He was reading a thing about Coleman.
I don't care what you're reading. Shut up while I'm saying this stuff, okay? You almost got belted. It's a good thing Margaret held me back.
Well.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
Yeah, you think you ought to do some damage there, man?
No.
Oh, want to try me, huh? Anytime, day or night, you say the word, we'll go at it. You just say the word, bud, and it's round one. You ready?
Right now?
Sure.
No.
Don't you ever call me out, okay? Because you'll get it. I don't care who said it, you'll get it.
All I said was a Coleman Lantern.
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard anybody say while I'm talking about serial killers, psychopaths, and this whole thing about killing themselves in a jail cell, and you want this guy to be the Coleman Lantern guy. No, it wasn't a Coleman Lantern guy. The Coleman Lantern guy wouldn't kill himself because he knows he's going to inherit billions.
God, if he's an antisocial psychopath, he won't care.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this just marvelous conversation, and oh, how intelligent is it are. Our number, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll tell you about this Roger Coleman guy. This guy was a real, talk about a manipulative guy. The Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show here, final segment of the night. Always great to have you with us. If you're watching us online, if you're watching us via Phil TV here at philhendryshow.com, and you want to hear us on the radio, you got to bug those radio stations. We've got some great affiliates, and I'm telling you, this is a radio show that is a unique offering. And it's almost like, I don't know, man. I don't know what the problem is, but you know, they got the problem, not us. You know, we're enjoying ourselves here, and you guys are enjoying it. So if you want this show on in your market, then bug these cats that are running these talk stations with all of this, you know...
crappy programming.
Yeah, crappy programming. All right? I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but that's what you got to do. And I know that you will be successful, and I know that we'll march on to greater glory, God willing.
Hey.
Thank you, bud. Thank you.
All right, enough.
All right. Getting back to Coleman, Roger Coleman. Now, here's a guy, and I say that they will manipulate you after death.
Now, this is the man that claimed he was innocent up until they pulled the switch, right?
Right up until they pulled the switch.
Well, it was lethal injection.
Yeah, that lethal injection. Do they pull a switch on that, or what do they do?
No, they push a button.
Yeah, they push a button, I think, and all the juice just goes right into you, man, and you're gone, you know, within, like, whatever time it takes.
Well, I don't think it's very humane. It takes too long, I think.
Oh, whatever, Margaret, you know.
Well, what do you mean, whatever?
What do you mean it takes too long?
I think it takes, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah, but you know what? The first thing they pump into these people is something to calm them down so they're going to feel all groovy and dying won't matter. I mean, that's the first thing that happens. And frankly, I don't give a crap, okay? So let's not even get bogged down in that. The fact is, this guy Coleman swore up and down, left and right, backwards and forwards, that he was an innocent man, and he'd been convicted of raping and murdering his own sister-in-law. Raping and murdering his own sister-in-law, who lived just a few doors down from where he was living. This guy was, I believe he was a coal miner or some such occupation. He came home and then went to her house, attacked this woman, and murdered her. Now, they had DNA evidence, but it was in the early 90s or late 80s before there was sufficient testing, that there was the foolproof testing that eventually they developed in the late 90s and on into the, you know, 2000s. So this guy was convicted primarily, I think, on circumstantial evidence, on some testimony, on perhaps there was some blood match in terms of blood type. There might have been a fingerprint, but it was not DNA. Now, Coleman worked this. I mean, this guy worked it. He said, I'm an innocent man. You're going to be putting to death an innocent man. He got the Time magazine to put his ugly mug on the cover. He got Newsweek to put his kisser on the cover. He had people from all over the planet Earth talking about what a great sweetheart of a guy he was. And oh, my gosh, golly Jesus. And the other thing was that he would talk to groups of school kids. I mean, he would talk to groups of middle school kids about, well, now, you know, this is what's happening. I'm an innocent man, and the system does make mistakes, and I can only hope that you'll change it when you get old enough. All of this horse dung. I'm telling you.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Now comes the day that the guy is going to be put to death, and his last words were, you are putting an innocent man to death. I hope you people can live with what you're about to do. My conscience is clear. Okay? And they pushed the juice into this slob, and the slob died.
Hey, you call the guy a slob. He could be innocent.
Oh, is that right?
Well, what do you think, man? He ain't innocent because Phil wouldn't be telling a story right now.
You mean he wasn't innocent?
Hold on for a minute.
Call the guy a slob.
That's exactly what I called him, a slob. So now comes the Innocence Project, I got nothing against the Innocence Project. I think they do great work. Honest to God, I do. I thank God for people like the Innocence Project. The kids, the West Memphis 3 wouldn't be free today. And those poor kids, those kids, thank God they got out. There's an example, ladies and gentlemen, of how as bad as the system can act sometimes, the Coleman case and the West Memphis 3 cases are exemplary, I think, of when we can get something right that was possibly an injustice. Anyway, the Innocence Project comes along, or this lawyer takes over the case, says, this Roger Coleman was innocent. We have his DNA evidence. We have the DNA evidence from the scene. Yes, we have now developed an ability to identify the DNA that was at the scene, and I am demanding that the governor of the state of Virginia test this, because this is going to prove that we put an innocent man to death. I forget who the governor was. It might have been Warner. Or maybe one of the new governors said no, 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 and finally said yes.
That they would test it.
Yes, that they would. He'd say, okay, we'll do it. The prosecutor was confident. The cops were confident. But the defense attorneys and the people that had rallied to Roger Coleman's side said, you're going to find out something now. It's going to curl the hair on your head, Jack. You put an innocent man to death. And they tested the DNA. Now, I saw the documentary where the defense attorney, the guy that was fighting for Roger Coleman, even after his death, when he took the phone call from the lab to give him the results, I actually saw the look on this guy's face. I don't think he ever stopped smiling, but he said, there's the phone call, and he picks it up. Hello? Yeah? 99%, huh? So it was a done deal.
Well, was it the guy or wasn't it?
But what do you think, man?
Yes, bud, it was he did it.
But he said he didn't do it.
Well, do you think he might have lied?
He did, yeah, he said he didn't do it, and he said he didn't do it all the way up to the minute they pulled the switch on this piece of crap. But guess what? That's what psychopaths do. They can lie even while they're staring death in the face. Or facing the death.
Or faces of death.
Or faces of death. So he was guilty. They did exterminate, and that's a good word, the right guy. And this guy Coleman paid the price, man. He paid the price. And he tried to get everybody to think that he was innocent. And he wasn't. And his attorneys and all the people that fought the fight for this guy, they were betrayed. They felt betrayed, you know?
Yeah, I would. I want to dig him up and kick his ass or something.
Dig him up and kick his ass. That's a hot one.
Well, I mean, who knows, you know? Thank you, everybody. Thank you, CJ, everyone back in D.C. Thank you all for supporting our radio show. I can tell you this right now, that if I'm ever guilty, I'll let you know. Anyway, world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back tomorrow night. Thanks to Bobby Dooley and all of our guests. Check us out at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. We'll have our show log posted within minutes. We will have our podcast of tonight's show up by the early morning hours, and we'll have our classic podcast, episode 232, is due up by the early morning hours as well. Thanks to all of you, and we'll see you tomorrow night.